Recent elections in Southeast Asia suggest that militant Islamist parties in that region are not catching on. In Indonesia, the world's largest Muslim-majority nation, two nationalist secular parties won the biggest share in parliamentary elections last week. And in neighboring Malaysia, the Islamic opposition lost ground to the secular ruling coalition, NPR's Michael Sullivan reports.
Good Friday services at Jakarta's main Catholic cathedral near the city center. Hundreds of worshippers crowd the 7 a.m. Mass at the century-old cathedral. It sits just across the street from the Istiqlal Mosque, one of the largest in Southeast Asia. Muslims and Christians have lived peacefully side by side for centuries in Indonesia, along with sizable Hindu and Buddhist communities that were here before Islam arrived. Despite the headline-grabbing terror attacks in Bali and on the Marriott Hotel in Jakarta, that tradition of tolerance remains. Religious fundamentalism is not on the rise in Indonesia, analysts say. The results of last week's election, they argue, offer proof.
By and large, Islamic parties are not going to do much better, we think, than they did in 1999. They're not going to get more than 15 or 16% of the vote.
Sydney Jones is Southeast Asia director of the International Crisis Group.
Most Indonesians aren't interested in the state applying Islamic law. They believe they can be good Muslims on their own without having to have any role of the state involved.
Analyst Dewi Fortuna Anwar of the Indonesian Institute of Sciences agrees. She notes the one Islamic party that did do unexpectedly well in this election, the Social Justice Party, known by its acronym PKS, did so by downplaying its Islamist agenda and focusing on mainstream issues.
PKS did well in the poll, not because they said that they are going to introduce the concept of Islamic State, but because they said that they are going to fight for the eradication of corruption. That's what people voted for.
Anwar acknowledges that the radical fringe, the extremists, have given Indonesia a bad image in recent years with their terrorist attacks aimed at non-Muslims and foreigners. But she says,
I believe that precisely because of the sociological makeup of Indonesia, it's very difficult for any extremist groups, whether it's a communist variety or whether it's Islamic variety, to really win the hearts and minds of the people.
The Asisiakaran Mosque is a relatively modest, modern structure in the heart of Malaysia's capital, Kuala Lumpur. It sits literally in the shadow of the soaring Petronas office towers, former Prime Minister Mahathir Mohamad's monument to modernity, and the notion that Islam and development can and should go together. In 1999, the tiny conservative Islamic party PAS did well in parliamentary elections here. This time around, PAS hoped to do even better. Instead, they suffered a crushing defeat in elections last month, losing 20 of their 27 parliamentary seats. Political and social activist Chandra Muzaffar.
What that vote shows is that particular brand of Islam associated with PAS, a very dogmatic type of Islam, it just hasn't found a home.
PAS advocates turning Malaysia into an Islamic state with strict Islamic law, including cutting off the hands of thieves and stoning adulterers. PAS's ideology frightened not only members of Malaysia's large ethnic Indian and Chinese minority. Chandra Muzaffar says it alienated many in the Malay Muslim majority as well.
Young Muslims want jobs. They don't like the sort of cultural restrictions which had come to be associated with PAS's brand of Islam. You can't have the popular singers, you can't mix freely, you have to have separate queues. I think these things had an impact.
Muzaffar believes PAS did well in 1999 because voters were angry at former Prime Minister Mahathir for jailing the popular Deputy Prime Minister Anwar Ibrahim. Mahathir's successor, Abdullah Badawi, has impeccable moderate Islamic credentials. He is a devout Muslim, the son of an Islamic scholar, and has preached a tolerant Islam that embraces change and development. An Islam that analyst Chandra Muzaffar says can be traced to the way in which Islam was introduced to the region more than 800 years ago.
In the case of Southeast Asia, there wasn't a single battle in the name of religion. Islam was brought by merchants and mystics to Southeast Asia, and it spread via trade.
Because of this long history of tolerance and pluralism, few analysts believe that Islamic parties can win at the ballot box in Malaysia or Indonesia anytime soon, and that mainstream moderate Islam is likely to endure. But Sidney Jones of the International Crisis Group offers a warning.
Within all of these countries, there's a hard line, and that hard line is a very intolerant and sometimes very violent form of Islam. So I think that while you do have that moderate mainstream, and that moderate mainstream is far more representative of Islam in the region than anything on the fringe, there is that fringe, and that fringe can be dangerous.
And it is that fringe that has helped spawn groups like Jamaah Islamiyah, blamed for both the Bali bombing and the attack on the Marriott Hotel. The group's aim is the creation of a pan-Islamic Southeast Asian state. Michael Sullivan, NPR News, Kuala Lumpur.